From NPM, the National Association of Pastoral Musicians, this is episode 245 of Ministry Monday. Ministry Monday is a weekly podcast about music, ministry, and liturgy, produced by the National Association of Pastoral Musicians, or NPM. What is NPM? NPM is a national association that fosters the art of musical liturgy. The members of NPM serve the Catholic Church in the United States as musicians, clergy, liturgists, and other leaders of prayer. For more information, go to npm.org/join. Have a question? Email us anytime at ministrymonday@npm.org. Hello, and welcome to Ministry Monday. I am your host, Amanda Bruce. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to Ministry Monday wherever you listen to your podcasts, and thank you for joining us today. This week on Ministry Monday, we revisit one of our most listened to episodes of all time, which is a conversation with theologian and liturgical composer Tony Alonso about his work, Caminemos con Jesús. Caminemos con Jesús is a collection of liturgical music that honors the Cuban musical heritage not often seen in its own right liturgically in the United States. In this episode, you'll learn the inspiration behind Caminemos con Jesús, as well as the people, effort, and heart from so many to make this project authentic, vibrant, and full of the Spirit. It's one of the many great ways to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month as well. Today on the call, we have Tony Alonso. Tony, thank you for talking with me today on Ministry Monday.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
Good. So I asked you if you wouldn't mind talking today to the listeners, because you have a brand new project that just recently came out, Caminemos con Jesús. And personally, I know I've heard of it. And of course, I followed your journey with it, but I really thought it would be so important and interesting for the listeners to hear a little bit about it. So would you mind just explaining what it is and kind of the genesis of the album itself?
Yeah, Caminemos con Jesús is really a dream project of mine. It's something I've wanted to do for, gosh, a decade or more. My father was born in Cienfuegos, Cuba, and came to the United States when he was very young, about 6 years old, and moved to Miami. He eventually moved to Minnesota, where he met my mom when they were both in high school. And I ended up, although I was born in Miami, I was raised in Minnesota. And so I had this Cuban family in Miami and, my Minnesotan family, both Catholic, but both very different expressions, I would say, of what it meant to be Catholic. And that goes for all things, but especially musically. I always think of the way in which we would celebrate Christmas in Minnesota versus the way in which we would celebrate Christmas in Miami. It sounded very different. It felt very different. The foods were different, and certainly the music. And I've always loved the Cuban music of my father's home country. My grandfather, when I was very young, would always take me to the Casino record store on 8th Street in Miami and hand me CDs and say, listen to this, listen to that, almost like he was assigning homework to me. And I just absolutely love that music. And as I kind of grew into my own compositional vocation, I realized, especially when I was working in bilingual contexts, Spanish and English contexts, that so much of the music that we have for liturgy, beautiful music, comes from mainly from Mexico and from Spain. But there actually isn't a lot of music from Cuba. And I think there's a range of reasons for that. One, that Vatican II happened right around the time of the Cuban Revolution. And I think there are other historical reasons. But I've always wanted to figure out a way to kind of enculturate liturgical music with that Cuban heritage that has meant so much to me. So Caminemos con Jesús is an expression of that dream.
The driving force of this music is, of course, from Cuba, but you didn't record the album in Cuba, did you? Where did you record it?
No. In fact, figuring out where to record it was one of the biggest challenges. I knew that we wanted to record with Cuban musicians, which sounds a little silly perhaps, but you know, it's not just about finding people who can play in a particular style, but I really wanted to honor the fullness of the heritage by having Cuban musicians play these songs. And so we kind of began a long conversation, my colleagues at GIA, especially Peter Kolar and Kate Williams and myself, about where to record it. And I had heard of a liturgical musician named Juan Delgado, just through like social media and other places. He's produced other recordings of some OCP artists. And I knew he was Venezuelan. I knew he lived in Miami. I also knew that he had recorded a lot of different things. Nothing really in the kind of style that I wanted, but I thought it would be worth reaching out to him to see if this is something that he could help us realize. And it actually ended up to be so providential. From our very first conversation, Juan immediately understood the depth of the meaning of this project. And he himself is actually married to a Cuban woman, so he deeply knows the style as well. Hmm. So he embraced the project with such care. And then he said very honestly, which I appreciated right from the start, he said, "I love Cuban music, but I would not consider myself an expert in it." So he said, "What we need is a guide to help us realize these arrangements, who knows it in their heart." And so he found this man, Yorgis Guari Celaya, a Cuban-born musician who's just an amazing bass player, arranger. He, Yorgis, ended up being the kind of person who did all of the arrangements and made it what it is. And one of the kind of other providential things is one of my grandfather's very favorite Cuban singers, Albita Rodriguez. He used to give me CDs of hers all the time. And as it turns out, Yorgis is actually her band leader now and does all of her arrangements. So it just was like amazing to work with someone whose work I've known indirectly for many years.
Mm-hmm. How providential.
Truly.
Oh, amazing. That's great. What are some of the favorite tracks you have on this album?
Wow. You know, I have to say, and I don't say this like self-referentially in any way, but this project, I feel like, is a project in which I feel like every piece has a place, which is what you strive for, I would say, in any recording, right? You never want to have filler, like,
right,
oh, I
right.
like these songs, but it filled out with these. But in this particular project, every song just has a specific place, either liturgically, devotionally, and musically. And so it's hard for me to pick a favorite, but I will highlight a couple. Of course, that song I mentioned earlier, Caridad by Gloria Estefan, to do that arrangement was amazing. Mm-hmm. The very first song on the track, Qué Alegría Cuando Me Dijeron, I rejoiced when I heard them say, I feel like is a really strong expression of like what the project is at its heart. And most of the songs, I would say 75% of the songs are composed in a style called the son, like spelled S-O-N, like sun in English, the son cubano. And it's a folk style that is very familiar to people who probably have never even heard the word son. If they've ever heard like the Buena Vista Social Club and folks like that, or contemporary salsa is very much a contemporary version of the son. And what kind of marks it apart from other music is the instrumentation. You hear that kind of rhythmic piano part called the montuno. You have a bass line called the tumbao, which kind of is like an offset rhythmic bass line. And then for our purposes, which excites me about liturgy, is it's very dialogical. It's not like so much of our English music where you have a long verse and then a refrain where people sing. Mm-hmm. There's a constant back and forth. So the soloist sings a couple bars and then the assembly sings something back. So you hear that in most of the songs on this recording, which is what excited me, because when we sat down to talk about this project, I didn't want it to just be like, let's just do some really cool Cuban music with some sacred words. I actually wanted it to be deeply liturgical. And I heard in this style a way to sing ritually that I don't hear in a lot of styles. And so in Qué Alegría, in almost every song on the recording, you hear that kind of back and forth that is usually in Cuban music, the soloist and the background singers. But in this recording, it's that soloist part is like the cantor part. And then those repetitive parts that keep coming back is like the assemblies part. So they're perfect for processions, for when people are moving. And it's so exciting to imagine them used liturgically, not just on this recording.
Are any of these available for print for use, or do you see that coming in the future?
Yeah, actually, as of this morning, all of the editions, I believe, are available for print.
And excellent.
That was the other thing. We did not set out to just make a recording. We set out to make a project of music that could be used in liturgy. And so we didn't want the printed editions to kind of just follow haphazardly over the next few years, but for everything to come out at once. And so, and we also have amazing editions. Peter Kolar did an incredible job creating accessible versions, not just for players who are used to playing Latin music, but also for people who have no familiarity at all. I mean, the piano parts are really written out in a way that anyone can play them. We also have a guitar edition, which has the usual guitar parts, but it also has lead sheets for, like, say you're working with a percussionist who just wants the whole song boiled down to two pages, you know, so they don't have to turn pages. So we've created all these editions that just make sense. They're pastorally useful. And I'm very excited to, like, get these in people's hands, because I think they're a great way to sing the liturgy.
I bet. How long have you been working on this project?
I feel like in my mind, I've been working on this project for over a decade, but in earnest, I would say it was about a year from the time. So Peter started at GIA in January of 2019, I believe. And I think on his first day, I emailed him and said, okay, I know what you need to do first. Will you please help me do this project that I wanted to do forever? And for me, GIA has been such an incredible support over these many years. But one of the gaps that I think they would readily admit has been the lack of a constant, consistent attentiveness to Hispanic, Latino, bilingual resources. And so Peter's presence at GIA made possible something that just really was not possible in the same way before he arrived. So that's really what made it practically possible for this to happen.
If I was listening to the album and I wanted to integrate some of the music into my music ministry, but maybe didn't necessarily have a strong bilingual presence in my church, how would I go about doing so? Where would I start?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think one of the things that makes these songs particularly useful for congregations that maybe aren't used to singing in Spanish is its repetitive nature. I think too often we try to, like, jump in the way deep end with these things rather than start more modestly. And there are pieces on this collection, like I think of the simple arrangement of Cántico de Daniel, Canticle of Daniel. It's a very simple arrangement. It's composed in a style called the Punto Cubano, which is a very folkloric, simple. It's like three chords, the whole song. But it has a very repetitive, you know, the Canticle of Daniel, bless the Lord, provides an easy way for people to participate. And singing the same phrase over and over makes it less daunting than, like, say, singing a five-verse hymn in Spanish or something like that. So my hope is that the way these pieces are presented will be very accessible to people, both who are native Spanish speakers, but also people who don't know much Spanish at all.
I noticed that too, actually, when I was listening to the album on the Litania a la Madre de las Americas. I noticed that I truthfully don't know much Spanish. I really don't. I know Polish, but I don't know Spanish. Right. And at least I don't feel comfortable speaking it. And so, but even then, as I was listening and as I was singing, like, I felt that I could at the very least pick up each phrase that the pray for us over and over again. I felt that I even felt comfortable with that after listening to the whole thing after once. So
that's great. I mean, I have kind of an obsession when I write liturgical music of making sure people can actually sing it, no matter what language I'm writing in. So I find myself taking it to different people, both people who know Spanish and that don't, and saying, hey, can you sing this phrase? And, you know, reworking things that don't work so well. Because writing good bilingual music is incredibly hard work. To write music in general that feels familiar and natural is hard. But when you add the dimension of two different languages, man, it's a lot of work to make it sound right. And it's one of the reasons why I don't think you hear a ton of bilingual music out there, because it's at least twice, if not three times as much work.
Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about the album and about the whole project, actually?
Yeah. One other thing that I'd like to kind of highlight about it is the title, Caminemos con Jesús, is actually the title of a book in Latino theology by one of my friend and mentors, Roberto Goizueta, who taught for many years at Boston College. And that book is anticipates in so many ways a lot of the writings of Pope Francis in terms of images of theology of accompaniment, theology of encounter, and especially an emphasis on preferential option for the poor. And this project, in a way, is an homage to Roberto's work. And actually, the title track is something not just inspired. Its title didn't just come from the book, but actually the content of the song comes very much out of that work. And so it was a special delight to be able to kind of connect my theological work in the academy with this project of pastoral music. And so that's something I wanted to note. One other thing that I was really happy to be able to include is a piece by a Cuban composer called Tres Guajiros. I really very much wanted to include a Christmas song on this album. There are very few Cuban sacred Christmas carols that I could find, but I found this contemporary one by this man, Crescencio González Puentes, who I've never met, but it was on an album by a Cuban youth group called Acrisolada. You can actually find them on Spotify. And so it was really cool to be able to include that piece. I think it's a lovely piece. It kind of reimagines the story of the three magi as three, as Cubans say, guajiros, like the best translation I could think of. And we called it peasants on the recording in our translation, but it's kind of like people from the countryside, like cowboys or like, you know, kind of poor folks. And it's a story of them bringing sugar cane and honey and tobacco to honor the Christ child, the gifts of the land, very humble gifts, rather than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I love that very simple piece.
I loved that piece too. That was one of my favorites on the album, not to show bias, but that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now, before we wrap up, Tony, I did just want to take a little minute since we were on the phone together and talk about your work at the upcoming LA Religious Ed Congress.
Yes.
So you have been tasked to write this year's, would you call it a theme? Theme song, theme music, or hymn? What would you describe it as?
Yeah, it's a theme song. They commissioned someone to write a theme song each year for, gosh, the last 30 probably. Mm-hmm. So it's an honor to be part of that legacy of people that have contributed to the theme songs of RE Congress over the years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's the title of the song?
The title of the song comes from the theme of the conference, which is Vive la Misericordia y la Santidad, Live Mercy, mm-hmm. Be Holy, inspired from a particular passage in Leviticus about the call to holiness, and also from the Gospel of, I think, Matthew, be perfect as your Father is perfect. And so that's the kind of theme of the song. And because I was invited to write it just around the time we were doing this recording, it was actually kind of a last minute addition, and thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to compose a theme song for the RE Congress, which is so diverse and so encouraging of the diversity of the church, to write it in a way that honors my own Cuban heritage. So it's very much a salsa piece, very exciting, very rhythmic, very dance-like. And I'm excited to hear the whole a group of people gathered there in LA sing and dance it and pray it together.
Oh, I bet that'll be such an experience.
Yeah. And one of the things that I did with this song, which is something I've tried with other more simple pieces, I've never tried it with something this complicated, is there are actually two refrains, one in English and one in Spanish, and they layer on top of each other so that you could sing either English or Spanish, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. That's great. Have you heard it sung before, or will the Religious Ed Congress be the first place you hear it sung?
Outside of a recording studio in my house, I've never heard it sung before. So that'll be the first time. And we're excited to kind of like maybe break up, you know, the RE Congress. The first time you hear the theme song is in this arena that seats like 10 or 12,000 people. And we're going to try and get the different halves singing different languages
to
hear everybody singing and kind of create this cool choir. So I'm very excited about it.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, Tony, I want to thank you so much for your time today, but also for this project. I said this to you before we got on the phone. I personally have been listening to it and I love it. I just think it's so vibrant is the only way I can really describe it. Right off the bat, it's just so filled with life and filled with the spirit. Thank you for taking the effort, the time to bring your brainchild to life and bring it to us, because now hopefully it can have a life of its own in other parishes and liturgies all across, I mean, not just the United States, but the world, hopefully.
Oh my, thank you so much, Amanda. It means the world to me. Those of us who write liturgical music, our favorite thing, I mean, it's fun to do the recording, but I can't wait to hear people singing these songs. And that's my deepest prayer, that they'll be of service to people trying to sing the liturgy more fully and faithfully.
To any of our listeners who are attending the LA Religious Ed Congress this week, our prayers go with you. Safe travels and happy Congress going. And congratulations again to Tony for Caminemos con Jesús and for Live Mercy, Be Holy, Vive la Misericordia, Vive la Santidad as the theme song for this year's LA Religious Education Congress. For more information, please check out the show notes of this episode or head on over to giamusic.com for more on Caminemos con Jesús. This month, we're celebrating the shortest month of the year by having shorter, bite-sized episodes. Did you notice? How are you liking the episodes so far? Do you like the shorter durations? What topics have you found the most interesting? Email us anytime at ministrymonday@npm.org. Our theme music was written and produced by Aaron Schaus. The recordings of Letana a la Madre de las Americas and Arriba los Corazones come from Caminemos con Jesús by Tony Alonso and were produced by GIA Publications. Today's episode of the podcast was produced by me, Amanda Bruce. That's all for today. With the Spirit's gifts empowering us for the work of ministry, thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Monday.